Welcome back, Michael Warren Thomas here. It's the Grapevine at SaverLife.com, and I've got the weekly Glenora Gazette from Gene Pierce, president of Glenora, and an update on their harvesting. There's still some grapes being harvested. Catawba came in this week, as well as Lemberger and Cabernet Franc, and he says the vineyard irony. Catawba, the lowest priced grape variety, at least for us, has been the highest yielding tons per acre for us this year. While we use a few for our own wines, we almost have to give away the rest. So, challenging, trying to figure out what to do with varieties, these French American hybrids and natives. Although, there was too much Riesling a few years ago. It just varies year to year what is in excess, unless there's some bad frosts and things, in which case many of the grape varieties, there are sometimes relatively small harvests. But this year, generally a pretty good harvest. Again, it's wrapping up as we reach the end of October, and still beautiful time to drive through the region and enjoy the fall colors. Do that quickly because the leaves are coming down. And I see it on the trees in Rochester, much less around down by the wineries, and it does make the ground kind of beautiful as well, though. And one other note from Glenora, they're going to be taking down their awning that goes over their deck for the restaurant. And Gene says that a few years ago, they decided to leave it up, try to get a couple more weeks of people being able to dine outside on their deck with cover, and heavy snow ruined the awning, ruining the framing of the awning, and they are not going to make that mistake again. So, but they do have outdoor seating up their overlook, and that's going to be open through November 16th. So that's an area you may not have been for a tasting at Glenora. They opened it really this past, well, maybe a year. Maybe it's been 2 years, but relatively recently. And it's a gorgeous spot. They call it the East Overlook. Open until November 16th. The main awning for the terrace up through next weekend, and through the week of November 2nd. So still time to go down. And of course, Glenora is open. Verasian's restaurant, the restaurant, is open year-round, and it's a gorgeous view of Seneca Lake. And when you go for dinner, sometimes the moon will rise over the lake and shine on the lake water. It's just a gorgeous view. I was there for dinner a couple years ago and just happened to catch a full moon coming up over the lake, and that was something you should sort of plan a dinner around, and check the weather forecast, check the moon cycle, and then make some reservations to go down and have dinner at Glenora. The harvest is mostly over. A lot of the Riesling and red grapes are in, but there are still some out there. And as I mentioned last week, the ice wine grapes, those will stay on for perhaps a month, maybe 2 months, until we get weather cold enough to harvest them, and those will be netted, so you can kind of tell that they're intentionally left out there waiting to be frozen, and they've got to protect them from the birds, which are voracious. They love grapes, so got to net them if you want to keep them on any longer. In Long Island, they have to net them, all their grapes, I think, or at least many of the vineyards net their grapes just because of the migratory birds, and there's just more bird pressure they net all of them around harvest time, and that's a massive operation, because then you got to take the netting down in order to harvest, and the ton of work to do all that. So we're lucky in the Finger Lakes. We have some birds, but generally the damage isn't too great, and it's just those ice wine grapes that really need the netting. The Brighton Farmers Market is going on today, and they posted until 1 o'clock, the Brighton High School parking lot. They posted their winter plans. They're going to stay with this regular schedule through November 22nd, and then from the 29th through December 20th, they're going to stay outside. They're going to stay in the morning, but reduce the hours to 10 to 11:30. Again, 10 to 11:30, and it's going to be cold. I mean, that's one of the reasons they're reducing the hours, is because the vendors would totally freeze from November 29th through December 20th if they were there for, really, it's easily 5 hours with setup and takedown time. So through November 22nd, regular hours, they will remain outside. November 29th through the December 20th from 10 to 11:30. And then they will close for January and February, and then announce what's going to happen after that. They don't know yet. So also, just a reminder that they're continuing the first hour, 9 to 10 a.m., reserved for seniors, vulnerable individuals, and people who have pre-ordered. So again, 9 to 10 a.m. for those people. Please leave the dogs at home. People obviously are not reading this, because I saw quite a few dogs there last weekend. So leave the dogs at home, and leave distance, wear a mask, and masks are required. And again, buying from our local farmers is a great way to support our local economy. You know where your food comes from, and they have a lot of vendors at the Brighton Farmers Market. You can go to brightonfarmersmarket.org and read about exactly what they're bringing. They send kind of an update each week, but again, Andy's Specialty Produce and K&S Bishoping, R&M Bishoping Farm, also Bolton Farms, Boy and the Baker, Brian's Kitchen, Clearview Farm, Deerhaven Farm, Deep Root Farm, East Hill Creamery, Fallon's Family Farm, First Light Creamery, Fisher Hill Farm, Flower City Bread, Flower City Pasta, Growing Family Farm, Impact Earth will be there, Java's Cafe, John John's Bakery, Laganer Farms, Lakestone Family Farms, Lavender Moon Herb Farms, Le Petit Poutine with their food truck, Lighthouse Gardens, Marty's Meats also there with their food truck, and Nino's Mexican Gourmet brings their food truck. So generally three food trucks there, plus Java's serving coffee. Newbury Park Pastries, Noto Fruit Farm, Rock Bucha, Seaway Trail Honey, Shannon Brook Farm, Trademarks Flower Farm, Wolschlegel's Naples Maple Farm, and Zantopia. Drew is brings some great perennials and things. And again, that's a long list of vendors. It's a fabulous market, and it's a 9-to-1 today. I saw a note, I think it was a article in Decanter Magazine about, they'll look back on this as funny at the restaurant, but it probably wasn't too funny. Recently, a restaurant in New York City, well-known restaurant, they had two tables order wine. One of them ordered an $18 Pinot Noir, which was effectively the cheapest wine on the wine list, and that must have been a really cheap wine, because I don't think I've seen $18 bottles of wine of any kind on a Rochester restaurant wine list. But another table ordered the $2,000 bottle of wine, the most expensive bottle of wine on the wine list, from a French chateau. And you can see where this is going. They put them both in the decanter. I'm not sure that $18 Pinot Noir needed to be in a decanter, but they put them both in decanters, and they were side by side, and they brought the $2,000 wine in the decanter to the people that ordered the $18 bottle, and they brought the $18 bottle of Pinot Noir that was now in a decanter to the table that ordered the $2,000 French wine. And then someone figured it out. Supposedly not the tables themselves, which is kind of a sign, you know, I'm not sure that the $2,000 bottle was, you know, effectively 100 times better than the $18 bottle, but the management figured out that these had been mixed up somehow. Must have had a terrible sinking feeling at that point, because, you know, the night's profits just were given away. So they of course, could not take away the wine from the people that owed ordered the $18 bottle. That wouldn't look good. And they, you know, had to bring another nice bottle to that table that ordered the $2,000 bottle. So they were out a $2,000 bottle of wine that night. But that's the retail. Well, you know, the price in the restaurant, you know, the restaurant paid probably half or a third of that. So, you know, maybe the loss isn't quite as huge as it initially sounds, but just, you know, those kinds of things happen. And one of the joys of owning a restaurant is dealing with things like this. But it's all about customer service, and it sounds like both tables went home happy that night. And both of them had some really good wine. If you have run into situations like this that you hear about or read about, send me an email, michael@saverlife.com. Always fun to hear from our listeners and hear what they're up to, what they run into. A couple things going on. Just missed a German wine dinner last night. I wasn't able to go. Kaloka Winery Estate, they hosted this up in Fairhaven, and they'll probably be doing some other events. I'm not sure about this fall, but I wouldn't be surprised before the holiday season. And they have one of my favorite chefs who lives up right near there, lives in Fairhaven, Emil Nymander, who had the Cornell Cookery. And so if you might want to look them up and get on their email list, kalokawines.com, C-O-L-L-O-C-A, kalokawines.com. As I mentioned yesterday, it has some similarities to Living Roots Winery in Rochester, because there's an Australian connection at Kaloka Winery, and they bring in their own, effectively their own Australian wines that are available in the tasting room up in Fairhaven. And of course, those are, you know, higher alcohol, denser, it's a hot climate. So largely they're obviously a range of climate areas in Australia, but they do tend to have more alcohol and be just jammier and just different style of wine from those warm climates. So I kind of like the fact that Living Roots, which is on University Avenue, has both Finger Lakes and Australian wines. Colleen is from here, from the Finger Lakes, and they were doing a pop-up tent at their vineyard down above Hammondsport this fall. They've closed that down now, but they started a vineyard a few years ago there, and will probably have a tasting room there at some point. They have a really amazing view of Keuka Lake up on the, it's again, very close to Hammondsport on the east side of the lake, like straight up the hill, and great views. So that pop-up is done, but you can taste their Finger Lakes wines on University Avenue, and their Australian wines too, because Sebastian, he is from Australia. And so they get two harvests a year, bring those Australian wines here and sell them in their tasting room. So again, local Australian wine, a couple sources of it. And it's funny that the two wineries that do this are both have connections to Australia, and there aren't really any wineries that do this with wines from other parts of the world. But there might be soon, or relatively soon. I think the Paul Hobbs vineyard and their operation is hoping to bring in, and they don't have a tasting room yet, but they will some point, probably in the next couple of years. But I think they're hoping to bring in his wines from California and from Argentina, perhaps also the Rieslings from Johannes Selbach. His partner there is from Selbach Oster in the Mosel. And if they did that, they would have quite a selection of wines, because I think Selbach Oster makes about 35 different Rieslings every year. And the winery is like 400 years old. And between Paul's wines in California and Sonoma and his wines in Argentina, it must have somewhere in the range of 30 more. So there might be 40 to 60 wines in that tasting room when they build it down near Watkins Glen, where the Hobbs property is located. And they had a good harvest this year. They had a good harvest last year. Last year's grapes, the wine from that will probably be released some point in the next, I don't know, 6 months, 8 months, or maybe sooner. They're a 2019 vintage, and they had enough of that that I think it may go into distribution. Prior to that, their harvest hadn't been big enough because the vineyards were so new. I mean, it takes 3-4 years before you get much of anything. And then that's a big investment, and waiting for grapes that will come in a quantity that you can actually sell. So 2019 vintage, they will have at some point, and we'll let you know when that becomes available. Not sure. It'll be interesting to see where it is available here in our area, because of his connections as Australian and Argentinian wines being distributed around the world. The Finger Lakes Rieslings that he's making may end up being distributed around the world and not that much available here. So I'll let you know if there is some, and when it becomes, when it goes up for sale, again, hopefully in the next 6 to 8 months. If you run into some new restaurants, some new menu items, some great service, send me an email, michael@saverlife.com. If you are reluctant to dine inside still with the coronavirus, consider getting takeout from some of your favorite restaurants, maybe freezing some of that so you have extra, but find some ways to support your local restaurants. They're only allowed 50% capacity. And while some have some heaters outside for continued outdoor dining, that will, of course, become more challenging as the weather gets colder. And they're still at 50% capacity indoors. So think about some of your favorite restaurants and get some takeout and enjoy some awesome food that perhaps you haven't had as many opportunities to taste over the last several months. And one of my favorite restaurants, one of our longtime sponsors, Ristorante Lucano, is having their 20th anniversary dinner. It's limited to 40 people, and it will be November 10th. So if you loved Ristorante Lucano, they're gonna have some fun for their 20th anniversary. Guarantee that. And I think tickets are $125 inclusive, so that includes tax and gratuity, November 10th. So call them soon. Leave a message if you don't get through. They're not open on Sundays, but get your reservations in if you want to celebrate their 20th anniversary. As I said yesterday, you know, how many restaurants in Rochester and our area have been around for 20 years? It's a pretty small list of places. There's a fair number that have been around for 10 or 15. There's several that have been around for 30 or 40, but not many. Rooney's comes to mind. That's been around for a long time. Well, it's had three owners over that time. It's stayed very consistent and excellent. Joe Squally's been the owner now for many years. Johann Mueller owned it for quite a while and then purchased Richardson's Canal House. So Richardson's is still open. They've been around a long, long time. Again, under several owners. The Lamplighter and Grinnell's, two other really long-term restaurants. I think both of them are around 40 or more years. And I'm not sure about the ownership of those. I think Lamplighter may be in the same family, and perhaps Grinnell's as well. But again, it's a very short list that have been over 20 years. Rohrbach's has also been open a little over 20 years, but they've moved locations. They started on Gregory Street and now located they have the brew pub on Buffalo Road, and that's out just west of Manitow, and then they also have the beer hall on Railroad Street by the public market. So they're, again, that's, you can probably send me the names of I don't know, five or six more. I don't know, a place like Marge's Lake House or Lakeside Inn. Someone posted they were out there recently. That's probably been around a long time, but not many. And so congratulations to Ristorante Lucano. Again, 20 years, and that celebration dinner is going to be November 10th. It's just a crazy time of the year with the election coming up. A lot of upsetting news. There's a lot of political conflict even within families, and it helps maybe in some ways to ground yourself and, you know, go to the farmer's market today and get some produce and make some soup or casserole or, you know, comfort foods, and, you know, get some takeout from your favorite restaurant and just have a longer term outlook. We'll get through this period in the short run somehow, but it's incredibly challenging time. As I said yesterday, wear a mask when you go out. We can keep this virus under control. New York State still doing relatively a fantastic job to other parts of the country. Somehow, you know, there was a religious wedding in New York City that was supposed to happen that was going to have 10,000 guests. And I don't know, the governor actually had to tell them they couldn't do it. I'm not sure what made them think it was a good idea to go ahead with that. But that's just, there's too many people who are not doing the very simple measures to keep this under control so we can keep businesses open. We know what to do. Just people need to do it. Generally, they are here in our area. I've seen very few people and, stores, restaurants, etc., where people were not wearing masks. You can send me comments, questions, michael@saverlife.com. We will be back next weekend. Gardening, food, discover the Finger Lakes starts at 9 a.m. next Saturday. Have a great day. Enjoy the weekend.